Frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
It's going to be the funniest show ever because I'm all about the comedy and the money.
Baby. How much you can pay?
And his partner, Fede Tappender Stevenson.
From Mexico City to Beef Community Centre, I've got stories that are going to blow your mind.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name's Robert Florence. And today I'm joined by, once again, the great, the one and only, the man himself, Grado.
How you doing, mate? All right?
Yeah, I'm doing good, mate. How you doing, mate?
Very well, Rob. How are you?
It's coming up.
Wow. It's coming up. It's coming.
Football's coming. Oh, mate. What a week, mate.
You sound Australian.
I know, I have a fucking terrible accent. I'm so bad at accents.
What a week, mate, eh? Now look what you're going and done. Your mum's upset.
It's coming on. It's coming on. The boomerang's coming on.
The boomerang.
It would actually come home, the boomerang, because it would come back here, wouldn't it?
I mean, right. That was a joke, John.
Oh, sorry.
Explain my jokes. Anyway, welcome to Wrestling Daft, everybody. We won't be talking about the football. So, obviously, the big breaking news that we've got to cover just now is about Terry Funk.
What?
It seems it's been confirmed that Terry Funk seems to be getting treatment for dementia, certainly.
Oh,
is
no,
in some kind of facility
that.
Getting looked after. I don't think there's any wrestling fan out there. There's no wrestling fan walking God's green earth that doesn't love Terry Funk. I think that's fair to say.
Wow, that's a shame, man. Oh, mate, is that why? Do you know what I noticed?
Because there was the rumor. There was, like, earlier in the week, I saw there was people talking about, you know, just people saying Terry Funk wasn't very well. But it seems like it's kind of been confirmed now that he's an old man. You know what I mean? He's got certain things he's dealing with and is getting well looked after. But God, we all love Terry Funk, man, didn't we? That's a wrestler, by the way.
That is a real wrestler, isn't it?
That's a real wrestler.
You come across some great, though. You come.
Oh, but Shaw walked to him in Germany, man. I can't remember the story. It was something. He was like, I think it was in a 6-man tag, and somebody else on the team apart from Terry was meant to go over. And they were like, you should go over. And I might be getting this wrong. And he was saying, no, I don't need to go over. I don't need to go over. But they worked it. So they surprised him. And he put on a figure 4 or something like that. And fucking the guy tapped. And he was genuinely emotional that they had let him go over. And or they kind of something like that. I might get it wrong. I'm going to voice note Shah, see what the story is. But something like that. But I've never came across him. Shah, what was that story about Terry Funk where they let him go over on a 6-man in Germany? What's the story again?
We've just contacted Shah live trying to get some update about Terry Funk. I know when we were filming recently, I was big Jester, Jack Jester. He was talking, he loves Terry Funk. He says that was always a dream for him. It was like his dream. I was asking the old question, what's the dream opponent you could have, and he was saying Terry Funk. He loves Terry Funk. Mm. What a guy, man. And Terry Funk, I remember, you know, he's one of the guys. I remember when I was loving wrestling and watching wrestling, he was like an old guy then. You know what I mean? You're kind of like, look at this old guy, man. Look what this old guy's doing.
Is it wrong that, I mean, I think it's just because of my age and the first time I was ever exposed to him. All right, Hank got me to vote Bailey Legal 97 on video first, but shortly after that was getting Beyond the Mat. And just to be at the whole Beyond the Mat stuff is hilarious. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that's the finest thing. Well, it might be because it was funny. It showed him in a, see that clip where he's walking away for Dennis Stanley trips up. I mean, it's one of the funniest things ever. And he kind of looks through the bit in the road as if to see you bastard.
Everybody does that though. See when you trip over something, you know what I mean? You go, fuck's sake.
I was going to pay you 50. I was going to change $150 to change my flight. I was going to give you 50. Oh, mate. So good, man.
But we love Terry Funk. So, you know, what can you say, really, in that situation? Sad, but the best to him and the best to his family. Jasper on Twitter says he doesn't want to step on Andrew Dice Clay's turf. But this is the most Wrestling Daft clip of all time. It's Buff Bagwell and the Patriot on Gamesmaster. Wow, this is, it's Buff Bagwell, it's young Buff Bagwell.
That's a Marcus, it's Marcus Bagwell, yeah.
Very well. Okay, Marcus, I want to talk about the special moves that you guys do in the ring. What's your speciality?
Well, my special move in the ring is called a cradle suplex, and I can show you how that's done if you want me to.
Please do. I was hoping you would. Okay.
You like to see it done? Yeah. Oh, got it? Mm-hmm. Are you sure?
Shall I?
Put you down like this right here.
Yep.
Shall I? Uh huh. I grab your leg like this.
This is very nice, actually.
And then like this, we're gonna go. You ready?
Yep.
You sure?
Wait, no, let me all over. No.
He's about to you, John.
I've seen enough of that, actually. Yeah.
What, Dominic?
I sounded a bit scared there, but I wasn't actually. Not in the slightest. I end up over there. Yes.
Is that Dominic?
But I think we got Diamond. The point.
Diamond. Diamond.
That was great. And then on to you, Mr. Patriot. Why the mask?
Well, without this mask, I consider myself just an individual competitor, just another wrestler. But when I put the mask on, not only do I all of a sudden take on and represent the hopes and dreams of all great Americans, but all great patriots across the world. You see, patriotism is just not excluded to America. It's all over the world. So it's the hopes and dreams, the work ethic, the hard work, the right way of doing things of all the great people across the world.
Okay, while I get all anthemic with the Stars and Stripes, we'll take you to a quick break. There
you go. That's amazing, isn't it?
That is amazing. I'm taking it they were there. Oh, remember that? You always hear about the WCW Blackburn tour, about 93, 94?
Mm-hmm.
Was that not a tour that fucking Sid Vicious and Arn Anderson were stabbing each other with scissors?
I think it might. Could it have been this tour?
So would have been on that tour. That it has to be. It looks like 94, 95.
Rare, man. I would listen, somebody should make a film about that tour.
Oh, man. But I can't believe that's Dominic Diamond.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. You're a pals with him, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, Dominic's a good guy. Good day.
7 years is coming.
Good Rangers fan. He's a blue nose. He's a staunch blue nose. Dominic.
Did he not refuse to come on Football Daft because Shellsuit Bob buried him on Twitter a couple of months ago?
Yes,
it was quite funny.
He did.
Come on, what did Shellsuit Bob say about him?
I can't remember, but was that again? Dominic Diamond. He made old Domboy look a bit daft, I think.
Yes.
Oh, did he?
And Bob's receipt was that he wasn't going to come on Football Daft.
No, we could probably get on Wrestling. He'll probably be up for coming on Wrestling Daft, to be fair. I can ask Dom if he could come on Wrestling Daft.
Wait, to talk this. About that 5 minute stint on fucking Games Master.
Yeah, he's not a big wrestling fan, actually. So, yeah, probably not.
Has anybody told him that the Patriots did?
I'll text him now.
Text him now?
I'll let him know. Patriots dead.
Alistair has asked us, do you guys think that with Baron Corbin losing his crown and his car and all he holds dear, that they're turning him into a WWE version of Biscuity Boyle? I quite like this. See, I like it. I need to be honest. I like it in wrestling when they do the storyline of the guy losing everything. I quite like that. I kind of feel like they've never delivered on it. It never kind of ends up well, but you know what I mean? I like the thing where the guy is losing everything. He's lost his crown. He loses all his stuff. I'd like to see what they're going to do. There was a rumor this week I read that the WWE have got a copyright filed for a Happy Corbin. Have you heard this?
No.
I'm telling
Happy
you.
Happy Corbin.
Happy Corbin. Yeah. I'm up for Happy Corbin. If Happy Corbin happens, I would like to see what that is. I've got a soft spot for Baron Corbin.
A lot. We talked about the marks. There's a lot of love out there for Baron Corbin. There is a lot of love out there for Baron Corbin.
I know everybody always at you. See, if you were just to read the internet, you would think that people will think Baron Corbin's shite. But actually, I like Baron Corbin, man. There's just something that's proper. He's a guy that should be on a wrestling show.
Was he the guy that copped it for fucking wrestling in Kurt's last match?
Yes.
Yes.
He does cop it on that night, doesn't he?
Oh, he does. And I love it. And he's like, he's a proper, he's one of the heels that's a proper no frills, no flash heel. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He's no the kind of heel. It's like, you know how when Kevin Owens was a heel? And I always kind of think, see, he's not a great heel, I don't think, because as much as he can talk the talk and all of that, when he's in the ring, you want to cheer that guy.
He does. He's
you know what I mean?
His moves are too fancy.
You want to cheer that guy, whereas Baron Corbin's just a big fucking pain in the arse, which, you know what I mean? A big annoying kind of, oh, fuck, no Baron Corbin, man. Oh, fuck. Fucking big idiot. So I like him. Willie says that, listen to you boys talking about Lionheart a couple of weeks ago. He says he used to work in the jail with him and he would get all the cons in the jail to call him boss man.
That does not surprise me.
He was built like a jockey's whip. He was built like a jockey's whip back in the day, wasn't he? Built like a jockey's whip.
Call me boss man. Oh, for that doesn't surprise me at all. Only
hey,
on.
Dean got in touch, says, hey, I just want to add a wee follow-up to Ram's comment about wrestlers on Twitch. I completely agree. I feel social media and things like Twitch take away the sort of illusion of this is a tough wrestler. When you're seeing all these heels for promotions and they're posting videos smiling and laughing with faces and playing computer games and doing TikTok dances and all that, the mystique of them being bad guys and tough on the show is diminished in my opinion. When I watch wrestling, I never saw a wrestler on anything else, maybe a promo, but you believed that a guy was who he was. Thanks,
you know what,
Dean.
You know what? That's a good point.
Amen,
as well.
Dean. Amen.
You know what, Dean? That's because when you think about it, like, you remember 20 years ago, you're right, you never saw a wrestler on anything else, but it meant something when they were on something else. You know, like, I would, like, I'm trying, like, just...
Like Games Master.
Well, I like Games Master, like, fucking my mosh.
Like, going live. Sitting. Like, a show like going live in the morning or something.
Like, I always remember my mom shouting me down because fucking Rikishi was on this morning. The big breakfast. I mean, the big cellular arse.
Yeah. But they would be totally kayfabing it though. This is the thing. It's like if Undertaker was on going live, he was sitting there on full gimmick, not acting like a zombie. Like on a kid's show acting like he'd risen from the grave. That's what it should be.
But you would be obsessed with it, like if you found out in one of the magazines that was Billy Gunn. Remember Billy Gunn was on Sabrina the Teenage Witch, mm-hmm. And it was like, I need to find this episode. I'm going to watch Nickelodeon all day, see if the Billy Gunn man pops up. It was, like, do you know what I mean? Like that's, or when wrestlers had walk-ons on movies. Remember even getting The Mummy Returns because The Rock was in it for fucking.
I remember The Rock in an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation doing a rock.
Aye. Oh sure. Yeah, aye.
But do you know what's
people's eyebrow not?
Aye. He hits me this week. The amount of stuff that's popping up this week about dirt sheet writers and have you seen all the kind of stuff with, is it Vega? Ashley, is it, what's her name again? Vega? Zelina Vega?
Yeah, yes.
Just, or no, it wasn't her, it was somebody else.
Was not Zelina Vega about her, I think you're right, Grado, she's, she basically slagged off the dirt sheets, even though all the dirt sheets were true of what they said about her, and she also apparently deleted her tweet about unionising wrestlers.
Did you delete it?
Apparently so.
Well, I mean, too many wrestlers acknowledge what the... Right, I get it if they put something up that... I get it if they put something up that's no factually correct that they can take the huff, right? But so many wrestlers acknowledge the dirt sheet writers these days. It's great. I've never seen so much stuff, tweets, messages, that, you know, this guy's talking shite. It's been about for like 40 years. But I mean, I remember one time when I've probably told you this before that I came that we were on a TNA tour and I had went and told Al Snow that the match I had last night was a dud. Mouse are right, a dud. And he went, "Ah, he's fucking nut at me."
Quite right, aye.
He went, "Ah, he's nut." He was like, "Don't you ever fucking tell me who gives a shit? What has that guy ever done? this is what's wrong with the wrestling business. Why even looking that up? Yeah, he just absolutely, but it made a lot of sense in terms. I mean, Dave Meltzer's brand new, you know, he's got with pleasures, you know what I mean? But there is too many wrestlers they acknowledge. I know you don't like Dave Meltzer,
Dave Meltzer's no fucking brand new. Al Snow was great, by the way, when we had him on this show and we were interviewing him. He's a smart fucking guy, man. Right. If you'd listen to Al Snow talk about wrestling and talk, and he talks very serious. You expect him to be a jokey, funny guy, and he is a funny guy, but he can talk very seriously about wrestling for a very long time, you know what I mean? And he's just a great guy to listen to, really, really smart guy. Look, but try and find that episode with Al Snow in it, if you've not heard that, where we interview Al Snow, because he's a smart guy, man. He knows he's love to pick a guy's brains, let me tell you. Pick a guy's brains, you know?
Oh, can I pick your brain for a minute, Paul?
You know, so that's Al Snow for you. Listen, Jason says, question for the boys. Off the back of last week's Love Island chat and the absolute dross that is this year's Love Island, what current wrestlers would you like to see enter the villa and book their coupling up scenarios with the current occupants?
Abdullah the Butcher. Adam Maxted. Oh, wait.
Adam, aye.
But hey, I'll tell you what. Don't know about you, Rab, but I know it takes a couple of days, maybe even a week, for Love Island to spice up, but it's all shit this year.
Yeah, it's not been it.
I've heard rumours, though, it's all going to change tonight, Grey, though. It's looking, two new lassies going in tonight, and apparently it's all going to kick off with, I don't watch anything. I've been to a lassie in the office, and she said, because I was saying, are we talking about this in the radio? Are people watching? She says, oh, it's all going to kick off the night. Hugo, apparently, he's the nice guy. I don't know who that is. Mm. But he's saying Hugo apparently says something tonight which is going to bite a bomb drop.
Aye, that's, I mean, you're wanting the dirt, you're wanting the muck, the scandal. That's what we watch it for, that's what we pay it for, come on. That's what you pay for.
Do you know what it is that Hugo says tonight in Love Island?
No idea.
Do you know?
I think it's something like, let me check, I saw it earlier today. I
can't put Ravishing Rick Rude into the Love Island. I think he would be good in it.
Oh, he would be good.
Yeah.
Let me find this thing. Model
Rick Martel, he'd be quite good in it. Macho Man.
Right, okay. He says, apparently Hugo Paul's one of the lassies for a chat the night, right? And he says, this will already have aired, so it's not a spoiler. And he says to the lassie, my physical address is 130 Green Meadow Lane. If you want to get in touch with us about any of that or just random wrestling related stuff, get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta at Wrestling Daft Podcast, just Wrestling Daft on Facebook. Our email is at wrestlingdaft@gmail.com. Every week we separate the bad for the good of wrestling, the non-alcoholic beer for the alcoholic beer.
Jesus.
John.
Do you know that I've bought...
Why would non-alcoholic beer be bad if you were an alcoholic,
for example? Because what's the point in non-alcoholic beer? It's like buying unflavoured chocolate.
I can tell you the benefits of non-alcoholic beer.
Right.
My girlfriend is with now. She's 23 weeks pregnant.
She's 23 weeks now? Wow.
Mate, she's massive.
Bloody hell.
And she last week was just now pregnant when we get cravings. All she's been craving is beer.
Oh, really?
Beer is her thing. Right. So, you know, I've got the Blade beer machine. I bought her a big fucking keg, big Heineken 0.0%, man. Nice. She's been in about it, something off her.
That's a good fiancé. That's a good fiancé doing that, getting a big, well, good on you, Gradle.
Cheers, bro.
So let's see what the punters are burying. Is there anything you want to put out or bury? Is there anything you want to...
What did I watch? Oh, we spoke about AEW the other week, didn't we?
Yeah.
Mate... I take it usually be a week behind me with the Jarrett podcast, mate. Do you know what that cost me? It cost me £34 a month.
Why?
To get these fucking podcasts a couple of weeks early.
Wow. Are you paying for that?
I stopped it. But I'm into it now because of the Jarrett.
There's loads more content on there as well, Gradle, for your
There is a lot of stuff.
It's just like your one. It's just like your one. If you remember, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, if you want to get our episodes, the video versions of our episodes, which are better. I mean, it's just better watching it in video than it is watching a podcast. You see John's face. You can see Grado's room. You can see me.
Did I tell yous last week?
What?
I was pestering him.
You were pestering who?
Oh my God, I'm so embarrassed, man.
Oh no, well, who you been drunkenly?
Last week. Wow. FaceTiming Jeff Jarrett singing Scott Hall's TNA theme. It was voice noting Scott D'Amore, called him a fat cunt.
What are you doing, man?
I'm just trying to. I'm new officially over it, if you know what I mean, right? So, wait to see where we go here.
What time in the morning, before you play a schedule, what?
West Scotland tap on. The microphone or that.
A decent voice, Grado, isn't he?
Sorry, yeah.
You sent this to Jeff Jarrett.
Sent that to Jeff and Conrad.
What did Jeff Jarrett, what did Jeff Jarrett say?
Oh my God. I went so. No, man. All right, so hold on. I wrote to Jeff Jarrett last. Guess I texted him, guess what song I am singing on the karaoke? You will never believe. And he wrote My World. And I wrote, close, can I sing it to you? FaceTime you, 40 second maximum. Let me sing it to you, you'll love it. This is from the best of Dale Oliver. And my lyric recall is granular. You know they keep saying granular?
Yes.
He keeps saying recall. He keeps saying recall and granular. This is from the best of Dale Oliver. And my lyric recall is granular, quote unquote. He went and wrote, on call, I'll call when I'm done, maybe 15 minutes. And then I can't repeat what I wrote the next one.
Like you. What
fuck? And then, so I'm sending him that. And he FaceTimes me. I'm going to be chatting with him. And I am not opening what I sent to Conrad Thompson, because it was fucking, I was fleeing. It was that 9% effigem.
Oh, yeah. Not that stuff again, Grado.
It was that the same night. It was the same night.
It was the same night. Fuck's sake.
What is this? 9%? What?
Oh, I was steaming on football daft, weren't I, John?
He started off like, Rab, this is what happened, right? He's having his wee drink, doing the podcast. He's starting to slur his words and start to go a bit mental during the podcast. Like, what's happening here? He's only had a couple of pints. Then he looked at the keg and it was 9% beer he was drinking.
Dude, I'm just looking at him. Messages to Conrad. Oh my God. Oh, this is really embarrassing. This is really embarrassing. When my world comes to the UK, I need a 15-minute spot covering Dale Oliver. Oh, I'm just cringing at myself. And then, hold on, wait to see. You have no idea. When I flew to sing with TNA, they drove me to Dale's house to cover Like a Prayer. And he gave me a tour of his house and showed me all these singers he managed. And apparently they were all jobbers. Honestly, I have a pair of stories. I am just you with a singlet. I'm so embarrassed, man. So embarrassed. And he just liked it, you know, that way he never replied.
Oh my God.
I'm just you in a singlet.
Can he beat it?
Oh my God.
No,
I'm so glad I never looked at that until the north.
The late night Grado part. Right, let's see what the punters are saying about the burying and the putting over. Jordy Coyle wants to bury Lana on top of Jericho. Said WWE. She says she once had promo time dramatically reduced to 3 minutes. She said they were forced to cut a lot, but they managed to get it down to 2:99. Bang on. No surprise she gets sacked. That's an easy mistake to make. Listen, she wants to put over Jordy Coyle wants to put over Vince going to the performance center to show them how it's done. What is
that?
He was down scouting last week, having a wee wander about, seeing if he can see anyone he fancies for the main roster. Got a funny feeling that Bronson Reed may be moving up there. Have you seen him, boys? Bronson.
Aye, man. This is the big kind of the large Australian.
Yes, the large Australian. That is a good description of Bronson.
Good on him.
That'll be his name probably when he's on Raw, the large Australian, and current fucking form. I look at that boy, man. He's a big Samoan boy. Oh, yeah. Listen, Vince loves a big Samoan boy, doesn't he? Yep.
So is that how you liked, John?
Well, I think he dropped the title there. He dropped the North American title, so I've got a funny feel. Karrion Kross is bound to be you. Karrion Kross, that Vince kind of guy as well, isn't he?
He was my best pal.
Well,
was he?
Oh, mate. Aye.
That whole package, the whole Karrion Kross package is up Vince's street. This big guy, Bronson Reed, get him in there, get him in. Just debut him, just have him walking out on Roman Reigns and have him saying he's the head of the table.
That's good.
Just geez that. That'll do.
I want to get back to how's Karrion Kross your best pal, Grade What?
Because, mate, I'm not joking, because it was, I've told this before, Rab.
He's a sweetheart.
Listen. He was his first day in TNA again. You know, I like to always go, right? Stick
you
with me.
Come under your wing.
Just stick with me, big man, you'll be all right. At least that to everybody, honestly. But he was literally one of the most interesting guys. He's a smart cookie. A smart, smart cookie. See all that talking about politics and stuff like that. He's really, really good. And I've mentioned it before, his debut in TNA was something else. Something else. I can't remember. So he was the policeman. He was a policeman. Somebody got right. What was his name? Chris Kross.
Killer Kross, isn't it?
I'm telling you, man. This was a debut that there was one of the most original debuts. Was it was a backstage fight? Somebody got done in, and they left a wee card on their backs, and that was the evidence that this guy had been battered. Anyway, he was used as a police, but the swerve was he was part of it, and he was a, you know, I can't explain, this isn't any justice, but it was shit hot. But he's always been a fucking star, man, right for the get-go, you know.
Was the talk, no, that he did he no wrestle a dark match before Raw just this week?
Did he really? Why did he do dark matches in front of them?
I don't know.
They're doing it to test out, like the Scarlett's done a match, who else did a match? Bronson Reed did a match. Tony Storm did a match. I think he's obviously keeping his eye on some of the talent.
Karrion Kross and Scarlett Bordeaux are just like, that's that, you know, they could be the face of something, you know what I mean? They just have a look, and they should be on the big show.
She was great as well, man. So I done a lot of backstage promos with her when I was trying to get, I can't remember exactly, but I done a lot of stuff with her. But I need to get you to watch this 2-minute video.
Okay.
Their debut on TNA. You love it. Right. I could be wrong, but I thought it was fucking mega original, right? I'm sending it to the WhatsApp group, right?
Here we go.
Whoa, Petey, no.
You did it to yourself.
I'm not resisting.
I can't believe.
Please, somebody, anybody see this?
Let's go, Brandon.
Are you kidding me, Sanjay? I didn't do this, Sanjay. You know me, man. Come on, we've known each other for 15 years. Now I'm going to jail. You know my wife and kids, man. Are you kidding me?
Stop resisting.
I wouldn't do this, man. What's wrong with you, man? Stop. What? Ease up, dude.
Peter Williams, you are under arrest for the crimes that you should have committed. Get up.
Oh,
the guy.
I mean, that's pretty cool, isn't it? Because you would never see that coming. You're so...
You should probably call the police.
Ah, that's broken. I watched that live. I watched that combat.
Did you like it, John?
I love the way it's filmed. You don't get like segments like that in wrestling. You don't get see the way it was filmed and the
Moody
way it's
fucker.
Everything's brilliant.
You're so used to as well the whole thing like, oh here's the police turn up in the wrestling. You know what I mean? It's like suddenly, or a police are here.
And it's
you're so used touch. To that. You know what I mean? That you wouldn't have even seen that coming either. Which is
did you like that? I told you it was like good.
Grado, why were you not watching the clip of you stripping for Scarlett Bordeaux?
Is that there? Is that there? Put that on. I've never watched that back because I was cringing.
Oh, listen,
this. Yeah, just search for Grado strips for Scarlett Bordeaux.
Grado.
For the smoke show.
For Scarlett.
Probably one of the most embarrassing things I've ever done, but I mean, oh my God, there's no way.
No, you can see Grado stripping for Scarlett Bordeaux if you sign up for our Patreon, of course, or you can just, you know, type it into the YouTube search bar. Anyway, here we go.
We're slowly becoming the laughingstock of this company, and that is not what I signed up for when I started dating you.
Katerina, let me talk to him. Grado, I want you to think all the way back. Do you remember Primary 3?
Aye.
The egg and spoon race. Where did you come in then?
Last.
Last. But here's the thing. You came last, but you know what he did? Every single day, he trained all day, every day, and then the next year, where did you come?
Second last.
Second last. So there you go, it's progress, and that's what I want you to think about. Slow and steady wins the race. Well, not that race, but I mean like the race of life, you know? And that's why I know that this guy right here is gonna get the big W next time. Yeah?
No. Well, eventually.
Is it somebody's macaroni time?
Mine.
That's nice music, man.
Hey there, big boy. Oh my goodness. You must be a model or something, right?
No, I'm a wrestler.
Oh, of course you are.
It's yourself.
Baby, why you look so sad?
Well, it's just that... my girlfriend, she just keeps... She's making me cry. I keep upsetting her. I keep disappointing her. And I keep losing wrestling match.
Oh, sweetie. How about you come on my show? I can help you with all your women problems.
Really?
Of course. But if I help you, you have to do something for me and Bobo. Deal?
Okay, Bobo.
Oh, yeah.
Bad boy. I'm a bad boy.
You like dancing on that
pole. I love it. Do you love it? Look at the statement. Oh, look at me. Look at the statement. You don't get that in beef, do you? Beef just got mentioned over here.
You're a bad Grado that needs to be punished.
Oh, God. Fucking torture.
Wow.
Oh, my fucking God, man.
There you go, mate.
She must be one of the most beautiful women in the world. She sounds... And...
Fuck's sake, John.
I'm sorry. That came out.
Get hold of yourself.
Sorry.
We should... Oh, man.
I would say that was one of the most beautiful guys in the world.
Sorry, yeah.
Oh, it was fucking ridiculous, wasn't it?
Right, by the way, that reminded me. Here's something I want to put over before we go any further on this segment. Joe Hendry has used the lockdown and the pandemic.
Oh, he's a beast, huh?
He's
too big.
To transform himself into a big, proper beastie wrestler. And
he's
I'm
too big.
Listen, oh, don't give me too big.
He's too big.
I'm all for it. One thing, you know, we spoke to Joe Hendry, another guy we interviewed in this podcast, best podcast in the world. We had Joe Hendry on here talking about it. He's a guy, see when he puts his mind to something, that guy. He does it, man. He's not like me. I put my mind to something, I maybe do it later. But that guy puts his mind to something, he does it. He's like, I would love to have like 10% of Joe Hendry's work ethic.
Me
10%
too.
Of Joe Hendry's commitment and belief in himself and his his way of attaining a goal. I'm just so impressed by this guy. I really am.
He's brand new, man. I mean, I hated him the first time I ever met him because he tried to beat me at a burger eating contest. He was taking it serious.
That's just the kind of guy he is, right? He's like,
I'm like, fucking calm down. But then I got to know him, and he's one of the best guys I've ever spoken to him in ages, actually.
He's so driven.
It's funny, Pete could see.
What?
Just because, so there's the newsreader on Go Radio was called Jo Henry.
All right.
She's a woman that reads the news. And fucking, I gets a text, hi, it's Jo Henry. That stuff you done this morning with Crofty was hilarious, blah, 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 right? And I'm going, what do you mean? I didn't go. I'm going, all right, mate, long time no here.
Thank God you didn't. Thank God you didn't go, you're some size now, by the way.
Oh, fucking hell, mate.
Beautiful. Right, so AI. Stephen wants to put out the China documentary in A&E. We spoke about that last week. And wants to bury the way she was used during the filming of the Reconstruction of China documentary featured on that one. Grado, you said it yourself, the guys were horrible guys. Barry wants to bury that skinny wee gimp, Adam Cole. I've seen more muscle in a supermodel cutting weight for a photo shoot. My 7-month-old Bern could take him. I mean, say what you want, but that's not what you want somebody saying about a wrestler, you know what I mean? And Barry wants to... Yeah, he's copying me. He's trying to get in my good books. Barry wants to put her carrying Cross's intro. It's the Dog's Buzz. Love the gothic metal theme to it. Listen, he's no said anything. What John would say there is, oh, I have to say, Scarlett Bordeaux's got to be one of the most beautiful women in the world.
Scarlett Bordeaux, eh? She's got to be one of the most...
I'll tell you something, eh, about a Scarlett Bordeaux, eh?
She ain't no honey.
Beautiful woman on the planet, eh?
I don't know if you've got this with your partners, but you've got the laminated list. You know, like your top three list.
Yeah, I fucking don't have that.
That you have to
the laminated list. That's disgusting. Does that mean... Oh,
right, so you get passes. So, like, if you were to say, like, for example, let's just put it out there. Scarlett Bordeaux was to say, right, John, how's about, you know...
Fuck me, man.
Coming out for a wee drink, you know, we'll have a nice wee meal and all that sort of stuff. And then you get a pass. You get a pass because it's Scarlett Bordeaux. No.
Do you know what?
Hold on a minute. I'll tell you one thing right now. Well, me and my wife, we don't have passes.
Are you just newly married though, Rabbi?
No, mate. No way. Grado, do you have a passes?
My fucking bird would not fuck it, me.
Exactly.
Even talking about this.
John, you've been spending too much time with George Bowie. You've been spending too much time with George Bowie.
Rab, he grew up in that fucking early 2000s Jade Goody, Let's Slag, that kind of Piers Morgan. You know what I mean? He was brought up. Do you know what I mean? He's that kind of way. But, do you know what I mean?
What?
I seen somebody put in a comment that this is going to end up feminist daft. John is stuck in that. You know what I mean?
Oh, my wife has a list at all, not just me. She's got Chris Hemsworth and The Rock on there.
So
the guy for Aquaman.
He's on there.
So what you're saying is,
God, you go. Jesus Christ, I can't contend with that stuff. The Rock.
Let's imagine a situation. Let's imagine a situation, right? Where, right. Because obviously you work in the same. You don't work in the same industry as Scarlett Bordeaux, right? But you're adjacent to that industry. You do a Wrestling Daft podcast, right? So it's conceivable that Scarlett Bordeaux could come on Wrestling Daft and we could interview Scarlett Bordeaux just about her work and stuff like that. And then she could say, guys, when you leave the Zoom chat, could I stay on the Zoom chat a wee bit? I'll get something to ask John.
Yeah.
And she could go, John, would you like to go on a date? We could go to the pictures or something. You're saying your wife would let you go to the pictures with Scarlett Bordeaux?
I'm not messing with Scarlett. She's fucking married to Karrion Kross. I'm not messing with her.
Right, but imagine, but maybe, wait a minute, but maybe Karrion Kross would go, oh, Karrion Kross would be like, don't worry, man, Scarlett Bordeaux's got a list, John McAnally's on her list.
Well, you never know.
There's no way your wife would let you. This bullshit or this talk.
Right, okay, sorry. I bet you there's listeners out there that have got a laminated list. The top
a laminated list.
Listen, get in touch with. See, I'm talking about listeners that I've got. I know it's very unlikely that any of the listeners have like a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
Is it come ban up?
But get in touch with us and let us know if you do have a partner. Let us know if you have these mad lists because I don't believe that it's a thing.
Right.
John wants to put over Samoa Joe. The build up to his in ring return has been well done. A few hints at some matches down the line. The garden daddy wants to bury Grado for no telling his which female wrestlers he had a thing for last week. And he wants to put up Rab me because he's worth $3 million, according to the internet. One of my best pals.
That wasn't the question, but
it wasn't.
Anyway, keep going.
It wasn't. Steven wants to put the match between A-Kid and Jordan Devlin on the NXT UK. Hard-hitting, brutal match. And wants to bury WWE bringing back Zelina Vega. She was a good manager, but she did nothing as a wrestler before her release. There are better women they could have brought back.
It's funny, but because like these are the comments where we just read them out and go, get out of it. And they still write it in. It's a weird meant to be like, oh, we agree. Bring back. I want to bury WWE for bringing back Zelina Vega. She was a good manager, but nothing did as a wrestler.
But Grado, you're saying this, but Jim Cornette would get 15 minutes out of that. Jim Cornette would go for 15 minutes on that.
You're right.
You know what I mean? So I don't think they're doing anything right. Paul wants to put her Nikki Cross's superhero gimmick. Riddle's Randy Orton impression last week was great. Last week's Rab and Grado unscripted wrestling daft was brilliant. You want to say bury, that shows seem to be turning the corner and crowds are back. And Thunderdome's finished this week. Enjoy it, folks. I'm no burying nothing. Paul's in a great mood. Paul. And Jamie wants to put her the lad for a few weeks ago talking about mental health. There needs to be more about that. Getting more being spoken about that, he says. Jamie also wants to put her AEW for the video package at the end of last week's Dynamite about their shows during the pandemic at Daly's Place. Brilliant to see the late Brody Lee featured heavily. No real buries. But finally, I want to put you lads over for your not a usual show from last week. Brilliant stuff.
Brilliant. That's good.
And wants to put over the idea of a conscience versus sabotage match in 2021. Fucking let's get it booked.
Well, do you know what?
And he wants to bury any venue other than the Matt Busby Centre being used for said match. Listen, we need to
We're
get conscience
card together here.
Listen, we need to get conscience on the show.
Oh, we do. I messaged him the other week actually.
We need to get him on the show because we need to get Peter on the show because listen. Peter's contribution to the Scottish wrestling scene cannot be denied. Like this guy's contribution to the Scottish wrestling scene was massive.
Rab, you pop for this. So you know, last week I was messaging everybody when I was steaming.
Aye.
Like a fucking message last week. See if we can get it. Wait, see.
I'm extra laughing because, Grado, you fucking sent that to me.
Did I send it to you? I sent it to you conscious and all.
See, you're that steaming. You're that steaming, you don't even remember sending it to me.
I thought, he replied, lol, chun, how you doing, mate? We need to get Peter on, man. Pirate Ray's cooking program's fucking getting over. Pirate Kitchen.
Peter is a, listen, what a great story.
He is an entrepreneur.
As well, man. He's a... What I mean, he's a character, isn't he? What a character he was. And he's a charismatic guy.
He was funny.
Yeah, he's a charismatic guy. He's get that he's just got a charisma about him. Know what I mean?
He's got a charisma about him. You're right, you're bang on.
He could sell you on anything. Right.
I love how we bury him and then try. I love how we always bury him and then go, I tell you one thing about.
Right,
he could sell your end. Rab, he could sell your end.
It's the part of the show where we invite you, the listeners, to do a run-in. Come on the show, talk about wrestling, ask us a question. This week, we invite a man who reached out to the show a couple of weeks ago after listening to this podcast we've gone through, can you believe this? A bone marrow transplant. We wanted to find out a bit more about donating bone marrow and all that stuff. Here he is, it's the man himself, Stephen McGuinness. Here he comes.
Aye.
There he is. How you doing, mate? Good to see you.
Aye, no bad, how are you?
Wow, good. You look like Bob Malcolm.
I've no idea who that is, mate.
See, this isn't football daft, mate. You can't even talk about football players.
You do look like him, I'm no joking. You look
can't
like
talk Bob about football.
And look, he does, John.
Aye, does it look, he does look like Bob Malcolm. Yeah,
really,
what
really
team do you support, Stephen?
I'm with you, Rab, on this one, Celtic.
Don't say he looks like Bob Malcolm, man. For fuck's sake, Grado. Right, listen, Stephen, right, quickly before we get into the details, right, give us a quick overview of your story then, the past couple of years, what you were telling us about in the last episode.
So obviously, as I say, Steve, in 2018, I was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia, which is a cancer of the blood cells, the white blood cells.
How did that happen, mate? Like, how did you end up going to the doctor?
I suppose it all started, I got a wisdom tooth taking it.
Right.
And it just wouldn't heal up.
Fuck, right.
So it's obviously a blood clot it's meant to form, but my body couldn't form a blood clot. So that was a wee bit, kind of, I thought something was up with that, but I never done anything about it. Then I had a giant abscess on my leg, like my groin. It was quite bad, so I could barely walk.
Aye.
So my partner, Amanda, she kind of convinced me to go to see about it.
Aye. Are you one of the guys, by the way, because you know, there's a lot of guys like this who are like, I'm not going to bother a doctor with this.
I used to be, but no anymore. Like, now I want everything checked.
Aye, aye, aye.
Quite right.
But obviously back then, I didn't care as much. So I was only 22.
Jesus.
She convinced me to go about the abscess. They thought it might be diabetes.
Right.
So they done blood tests on me. And it was like the next day or something, maybe 2 days, I was about to go to work and I had like 10, 12 missed calls on my phone. Some were for the doctor and some were for like a random number.
Right.
It was all the doctors. So I answered and they were like, you need to go to Monklands right now. And they told me the word and all that. And they weren't wanting to tell me over the phone.
Aye.
But I didn't let that happen. So I was just like, oh, like, you need to tell me what's going on. And she was like, oh, there's an abnormality in your blood. And I was like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And she says, oh, you've got acute leukemia.
You're joking.
They just told you like that.
Aye, just like that over the phone. But I asked, like, you know what I mean? I couldn't be raging about it, but... So they couldn't tell what type of leukemia I got, so she just said acute leukemia. And I feel like an idiot now, but I was like, is that serious?
did you not know if that was serious?
I didn't know. I'd heard of leukemia, but I didn't really know.
Because leukemia is one of the ones there's a kind of array of different types in there and stuff, and it's like it's difficult.
A lot of people think it's mainly like Wayne's that get it.
That's the presumption that I get. That's why I always thought until I heard about Roman Reigns.
How soon did your mind go to Roman Reigns as a wrestling fan?
I was diagnosed 2 months before him.
Wow.
Wow.
So I was in the hospital. I suppose I should say I had to stay in the hospital for weeks at a time and I was getting my treatment. So all together I was in for 22 weeks, but that was split up.
Right.
So I was in the hospital for maybe my second round of chemo and stuff, and I found out about Roman Reigns. And it made me feel two things. It made me feel like a kind of reminder about myself.
Aye.
You kind of go into denial a wee bit, I think, even though you're in the hospital dealing with it all. But having Roman Reigns come out and say that he had leukemia as well, it kind of helped me a lot. Selfishly, I suppose, because it's still sad for him.
But it gives you a boost, doesn't it? Because you're like a guy like him, you know what I mean? Coming out, I remember that at the time when he came out and said that, I thought, man... You know, because it was a big shock, I think, for everybody that's a wrestling fan, you know, when we got that information about Roman Reigns. But that was one of the first things I thought. I was like, that is going to be such a big help to so many people out there right now. Thank God I've been fortunate enough not to have to deal with anything like this. But I imagine you must feel quite alone in it.
Aye. And it's not that there's no people reaching out to you and stuff. Like, I had loads of messages and stuff on Facebook, but I mean, what can I say? I was a bit crabby. You know what I mean?
But do you know, it's like when you're telling me this, I'm thinking, God, I can't believe you had to tell your family that. That must have been a big thing to, like, I don't know if you've got parents or whatever to say, like, telling them down must have been one of the kind of.
It was really difficult that, because it all happened obviously so quick. Usually you go to the hospital and they tell you there, but this all happened over the phone.
Aye.
So I'd already kind of, I think I'd started driving to work, and then my phone was ringing. I was like, this is keeps ringing, so I had to stop. So obviously after I come off the phone, I still had to drive back to Mabbott. It was only up the road, but that was kind of weird. You know what I mean? Driving myself back, just normal, just.
Aye.
But this was after it enough. I'd burst into tears, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I phoned my partner. She burst into tears straight away. I had to tell her, and I had to phone my mum. That was the first two people that I thought of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And my mum, I just remember busting out crying, and I was like, "Oh, I've got leukemia." And my mum was just like, "Oh, son, oh, you know what I mean?"
What else
was she kind of meant to say? But obviously, I still had it in my head. I need to go to the hospital. I somehow remembered the ward and all that. And then my mum was like, "We'll take you." I'm like, "Well, thanks. I can't drive." Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And then I had to just sit in my house waiting for my mum, because I live in Alloa. She's in Cumbernauld.
Aye.
It's not that far, but I still, you know, it feels like ages when I'm sitting myself. And then Amanda was getting brought home for work as well. So I just sat there smoking a fag. Just, honestly, just trying to process what I just, you know what I mean?
Aye.
Aye. This may be a bit too personal and all, but I would imagine you were Googling and all that as well. Did you know?
No, I tried not to. I have done, but my mum was a big Googler. She Googled a lot of stuff, but I didn't really want to know. There's still probably stuff she knows I don't know. Like, I know everything the doctors have told me, which is all you really need to focus on. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean, I can't speak for them. I don't know what they thought when they were looking up stuff in Google, but I'd imagine it's no nice to see.
No.
Obviously, I can't speak for that, but I think my mum kind of took it really bad and then was making herself maybe worse.
Oh, I definitely.
But it's just natural, isn't it? It's just a natural, it's a natural thing. You just want as much information as you can possibly get. So what happened, man? You got your treatment and you were talking about the bone marrow transplant. So what exactly, obviously, Grado, I mean, I've got a basic idea how it works. I don't think Grado's got any idea.
Yeah. I don't have the first clue. I don't have the first clue about it.
So, obviously, you've got your immune system, which is your white blood cells and all that. So, my type of leukemia is acute myeloid leukemia. So, your myeloid cells. I explained like this to me. Basically, one of my cells just inverted upside down.
Right.
And all the other cells after it. This is a really basic way of explaining it. So, all the other cells come out that way as well. So they were called mitoblasts, which is just basically cancerous white blood cells. So my body had no way of fighting infection.
But right.
Your whole immune system's made inside your bone marrow. Like, that's where your blood gets drawn, I suppose, gets out into your body. So if, like me, you go through your treatment, your chemo, and I'm into remission straight away, but they do really sensitive testing. It's called a bone marrow aspirate, which they kind of, they put a big needle in your hip bone.
Right.
And they suck out a load of bone marrow. So they numb you up.
Is it sore? Is it sore?
Well, I'm not going to lie, right? They say it's, they numb you up, but so the needle going in isn't sore. They see when they're in that bone and they pull it out and they're sucking the bone marrow, it creates a vacuum.
Oh.
So if anybody was to donate, they don't normally do that with donations. That's only for patients. They sometimes might try and take it that way, but it is kind of painful. So what they'll do is they'll take it. So if you're, the only pain you should have is needles, if that's even going to be sore. So that goes in. It takes the blood out, kind of up through a tube. It goes into a collection thing. I don't really know that much about it. Obviously, I've never donated.
Yeah.
And it takes all the kind of new bone marrow and then gives you your blood back. So this is you if you were donating.
That's mad. So it takes the bone marrow out and sends your blood back in?
Yep. And the other way to do it is to take it straight from the bone, which is the one where it creates a vacuum inside your bone.
So
here's the challenge, mate. This is the thing, though, right? I'm going to speak totally honestly here, right? Because here's the challenge with something like bone marrow donation. I'm pure fear. So you know what I mean? Right. I'm fear to that. You know what I mean? So I suppose it is like about just trying to get the information out there that it's you need to fucking know.
Is it hard? Like, is there enough folk donating bone marrow?
So I should have said this in my message actually last week. You don't kind of, it's not like giving blood.
Right.
You don't just go and say, I want to donate bone marrow. So that's what I was going to talk about today. Anthony Nolan, they've got a bone marrow register where all you need to do is register.
Aye.
And then that's the register they used for me was Anthony Nolan. So that's why, you know what I mean, I keep that one kind of close. So you just need to register, and then if you're a match to somebody, you get different levels of matching. You get like a 10 out of 10 match, you get a half match, and all of them can help, but you really want this really good match, and some people aren't that lucky. So you might get called upon on the register one day, you know, but it's not guaranteed, so it's not like giving blood.
You go to date though, you know what I mean? This is the thing. If you get called upon, you would need date, wouldn't you? You know what I mean? This is the thing. It's like, there's no way you would say no.
How did they find out your type?
Like your blood, it's just your blood type.
Right, so they take a blood at the start and then go, right, that's it. So if we ever need...
I know what you mean. Blood type, my blood type changed to my donor's blood type.
Oh, that's so mad.
Really? Is that what happens mad then?
Aye, my DNA... obviously my fingerprints and stuff are the same, but my DNA is now his, so they call it a genetic twin.
So if you killed somebody,
I've went right there as well.
Yous are only the first people to ever say, like, so many people have asked me that. I would never do it to try, but
well, so like, so. But it's a brilliant idea if you're writing some kind of detective story in it, though. It's somebody that's like, he does murders and then he gets a bone marrow transplant.
That's a great story.
You give us a brilliant idea.
I'd watch that film.
So how was your match? Was your match a good match?
My doctor said to me I had over 500, which is lucky, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I had over 500 matches. Some people get none.
Jeez.
The best match was a young British guy, a couple of years older than me. I've never met him. I think one day I can kind of speak to him and stuff, but obviously you have to wait a while, and then COVID happened.
Yep.
So he was a young guy, same age, from Britain. The doctor said it was that good. It was a 12 out of 10 match.
Wow. Excellent.
Because some people can match with their parents or your siblings.
Aye.
But it just wasn't. They just never turned out that way for me. So.
Do you find out his name in that?
No, yeah, they make you wait.
They just, aye, they
you wait 2 years to kind of make sure everything's all right.
Aye.
And it's been over 2 years for me now. Because of COVID, I've not even been at the hospital. It's all been video calls. I just go and get bloods taken and my bone marrow taken and stuff.
And it's all good, mate? Are you all good to know?
Aye, I literally get told the other day from my doctor that at this point, the chances of it coming back are very slim.
Wow, man.
Amazing. It's amazing.
I've been going to the hospital. It started off twice a week, and then it was once a week, and it's been going down and down. So now they're talking about maybe once a year.
That's brilliant.
So if the doctor thinks it's going to be good enough to go just once a year, then I'm quite happy. Obviously, I still get worried and anxious about it, but just knowing that a doctor just says, like, the chances of you having a relapse of that slim, that we shouldn't worry too much.
I bet you're feeling good, and you know, and you should feel good. I think if anything, like, the pandemic's taught us as well. Like, I was, you know, I've always been, like, all my life I've been a terrible hypochondriac, man. Like, I've been a real hypochondriac. Have you not said, Grado, as well, you're quite bad for
my doctor called me a hypochondriac. My doctor called me and I went off my nut.
Aye, but I think if the pandemic has taught us anything, it's like, it's fucking, there's no point worrying. It's like, there was nobody 2 years ago. Any of these people that have got seriously ill or died during the pandemic for COVID, none of these people would have fucking predicted that was going to happen to them. You know what I mean? It's like, sometimes it's that reminder you get where it's like, everything's just a lottery, man. It's just like, and new, at least you're getting you're getting watched, you're getting, you know, you're getting the best care and you're getting looked after and stuff, and you go that great match and you're feeling good. And you're basically Roman, essentially you're Roman Reigns.
Pretty much, this is my yard.
Roman Reigns. But you must be feeling good, man. It must feel good as well. Does it, you know, people that are in these positions, it's all cliche, they always get asked, like, do you view life differently? Obviously, you're a young guy anyway, so it's like, it's not as if you've lived 40 years and then went, right, no, I'm going to live my next 40 years differently. But do you look at things differently since it happened?
You can, you see that somebody saved my life, like more than one person. A whole host of things happened to save my life. So it kind of makes you realise that if there wasn't at least some people out there that cared enough to kind of donate and stuff, I wouldn't be here.
Aye.
So that makes you think that there's real goodness in the world, and you know.
So what's the message here today then? What do we need to do? We need to tell folk to sign up?
Pretty much. Yeah, if you go to anthonynolan.org, they've got a register. That's not the only register there is. There's the BB, was it BBMR? The British Bone Marrow Registry. And then there's DKMS. You can register on all three of them. Or you can, if you give blood, you can mention it next time you're down giving blood.
We'll put it on our social media channels as well when we join these things so people can...
It's dead easy. I've done it. I'm registered with DKMS.
Right, nice,
I'm
mate.
I'm on the,
that's good.
Matchingdonors.com Marrow Registry. Registered as a patient of a British Bone Marrow Registry. Yeah, register now.
Yep, that's one of the ones, that's the kind of main three. Obviously, Anthony Nolan's the register they use to find my match. But obviously, you can register with any of them or just through the NHS at your next appointment kind of thing. You just mention it.
And John, how long have you been? Have you just done this to look good this week?
No, do you know what? Honestly, it was just something that came through the door and I read it and I went, why would nobody, it's like a donor service, but it's obviously not as well known as Stephen.
Yep, aye.
Like the leaflet came through the door, so it was just so simple. It was like a DNA swab, put it away, sent it off, and it was simple as that for them to register.
Because I mean, I remember where we were when you were mentioned last week. I'm going, I couldn't tell you the first thing about bone marrows and stuff like that, but I'm full heavy clued up. I'm going to sign up to it.
Oh, cheers for that, mate. That's much appreciated.
Aye, definitely.
When you want your bone marrow, Grado.
Fuck's that, mate? I mean,
somebody somewhere will benefit from it, I promise.
Aye.
Well, we're going to have to do it. And we're going to need to try and get the punters out there to do it. I know.
By the way, who's your favourite wrestler?
Aye, let's have a wee bit of that before you go.
Who's your favourite WrestleMania?
Hey, hold on. My favourite wrestler of all time.
Aye. Favourite Scottish wrestler to work for TNA?
Favourite Scottish wrestler to work for TNA? Was it Drew Galloway or something? I don't know. Was Nikki Cross there possibly? I don't know.
She was in something.
Somewhere. I'm only kidding, Grado. You're the favourite, obviously.
So, man, it's all about looking to the future for you. So, what are you looking forward to wrestling wise? What are you looking forward to this year? Is there anything you're looking forward to? You're looking forward to seeing Hangman Page winning the title?
I'm looking forward to live crowds, proper live crowds.
Aye.
I'm looking forward to possibly getting back to an ICW show. I was meant to go to the 2018 Fear and Loathing. I couldn't go, obviously.
We
contacted Jester, and he was going to give the tickets to somebody that kind of deserved them, but he must have obviously been busy, and we were busy as well. And
mate, we'll sort you with tickets. Don't you worry. Whatever the ICW's big live show back is going to be, we'll sort you with tickets.
100%.
That's much appreciated, guys, honestly.
Do you know what I want to ask you, and I don't mean to, you can tell me if it sounds too much, but right, if I'm you, right, the Roman Reigns stuff and all that, I'm like, right, how can I get Roman in touch with Roman Reigns? Did that not cross your head?
For fuck's sake, man.
Nah.
You know what I mean? Nah. You know, you see these folk that come, they meet one another. No Make-A-Wish Foundation. Do you know what I mean? That kind of...
No, that's always awkward for me. Like, that's right. Isn't awkward. You see, well, hold on. Like, we're all Scottish. We all kind of speak the same. I don't know. I just Roman
Grado's,
Reigns.
Grado's
is...
ruined this because John would probably have cut this wee interview bit out and he would have tagged Roman Reigns in and all of that on social media. And now Grado's kind of ruined it by kind of going, oh, maybe we could get in touch with Roman Reigns. Not a, maybe we could cut this bit out. But, you know, it's like, well, maybe we could. Maybe we could get in touch with Roman Reigns.
Oh, of course. Obviously, I would love to speak to Roman Reigns about it all.
What,
but...
what height are you, mate? What height are you?
6 foot and a half.
Six and a half, right. Right, 6 foot.
So six.
Right, 6 foot. I thought you were like going 6 foot and a half, as in another half a foot. I was thinking to myself,
No.
Right, so 6 foot. You're just over 6 foot. You, what age are you?
25.
Mm. 25, young guy, right? You know, thought of training? Wrestling training?
No, I wish. When I was younger, like, I'm a kind of bigger guy. You know what I mean?
And you're not old, though. That...
No, I know. I don't know. I'm not the most agile either, and... It's like,
well, fucking, you're talking to Grado.
I when I was younger. I wish I'd done it when I was really young. And then,
listen, bro.
But at this point in my life, I'm quite happy just plodding along and seeing where life takes me. You know what I mean? I don't.
Beautiful.
I'm never a fan of other agile guys trying to train to be wrestlers, man, in case they steal my thunder. So. Plus, you've got a great gimmick.
It's a great gimmick.
You know what I mean? You fucking.
My mom said to me before I tell her I was coming on this, she's like, oh, that could be your nickname, the Wrestling Dafty. I was like, cheers, man.
The Wrestling Dafty.
That's it. Your man's sympathy for you is away already. That's it. Just back to normal, slagging. Yeah, beautiful. That's where you want to be. That's where you want to be, mate. Back there. Well, mate, thanks so much for coming on. Glad you're doing so well.
That was mega interesting.
Keep us posted.
Thanks very much.
And we'll do our best to make some noise about the donating, right?
But cheers, guys. That's amazing. Thank you.
Cheers, man. Right.
Spread awareness for that as well. Do you know what I mean? Cheers,
right, man. Steven, catch you later. Right. Stay well, man.
Pal, take care, man. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
You just made the list.
Everybody is always making lists. Whether it's jobs you need to complete or in the house, what you need to pick up for the co-op, or in the case of Scottish historian in general, walking asshole Neil Oliver. What is a list of things I can do that make me sound like an nobody?
John wrote this.
John, no, I mean Rob.
John wrote this.
John's trying to sweeten me up. John's trying to put me over here.
Yes.
Mate, John's trying to pop me by having a go at Neil Oliver.
That tweet of the weekend, Rab, I was fucking floored. Honestly, I don't get into politics. I don't retweet these things and all that, right? Because I just think, oh, fuck, it's
worth. Oh, you better know.
Mere hassle when it's worth, but see that fucking was, you know. Did you call me again a dunce? Mate, I was honestly fucking pissing myself for that tweet, mate.
Can't go the guy. I just can't go the guy.
There is it. Scotland's... Scotland's favourite bescarfed dunce. Bescarfed! Scotland's favourite bescarfed dunce, Neil Oliver, giving an impassioned speech here by reading an autocue like a malfunctioning L'Oreal PR android from the year 2100,000, what we call it. That's so funny, man.
Well, listen,
bescarfed dunce!
You've been on fire on Twitter this week, Rab, by the way.
Oh, oh. He's brilliant, man.
So you can vote for what you want us to talk about by joining us at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Remember, Grado's chosen this week's topic, and it was between what's the best celebrity wrestler, celebrity involved in wrestling, and the best TNA pay-per-view.
I don't even remember that.
And the winner was the best celebrity involved in the wrestling.
Bastards.
I would say number... I've got some favourites here, right? I would say my number three would be... Liberace at the first WrestleMania, because that was just like... That was just cool, and it still stays cool and kind of weird and surreal and bizarre when you look at it. My number two... Robocop. Being in WCW, because it just kind of blew my mind. I think about it all the time. See, when I think about wrestling, I always kind of think about that Robocop moment, and I kind of go, right, is it an admission that wrestling is fake, or is it an admission that Robocop is real, or is it like, what is it? I just love it, right? And my number one is, of course, Dennis Rodman. 100% Dennis Rodman in WCW, who was just a cool guy, who was an icon of the 90s, and just made NWO cooler, that he was kind of cutting about with him. I just fucking loved that, man. I love that era. See, I mean, think obviously WWE's been doing NWO week this week, right?
NWO week.
And I'm telling you, I'm so excited about Kevin Nash on Stone Cold's fucking podcast, man. I'm so excited. I'm so excited about Big Sexy being on that this weekend. Sunday night, I think, right?
It will be, yeah.
I think it's Sunday night. Big Sexy is going to be talking to Stone Cold. I can't wait for that. What?
Well, it's just, I remember, you ever remember that time I told you about Colt Cabana talking about MVP? And MVP was talking about being on death row. And Colt Cabana tried to be funny and went, the record company? and it went right over, MVP just dingied it.
Aye.
Remember that?
Aye.
Remember me talking about that?
Aye.
I remember when Kevin Nash was on fucking Steve Austin's podcast and something similar happened. He was like,
Kevin Nash made a joke.
Kevin Nash was talking about doing a movie. He's like, I was filming a movie. And Steve Austin went, gay porn. And Kevin Nash totally no sold it. And it was the fucking gay porn. He totally dinged it. You know that way he didn't acknowledge it.
Oh, that's so funny. just moving on past it. Stone Cold probably sitting like that. Shouldn't have done that.
Aye, exactly that.
Kevin Nash probably hanging. I'll not acknowledge it and he'll cut it out. He'll have to cut it out. Just fucking left it in. Beautiful. I can't wait to see the two guys sitting there, because Kevin Nash is a guy who's just always did like him, always did like Big Sexy. I even just love sitting here as a grown man talking about how much I love Big Sexy, you know what I mean? He's just a cool guy, and even his attitude and all that, just about like, you know, I'm just here to, you know, get my money and fucking get out. This is all, you know what I mean? He seemed to have his head screwed on.
No.
Kevin Nash, and even knew.
No, I don't like him.
He seems, you don't like him, Gredo, no?
Nope. Don't like him. Heat there. Let's heat there. Let's heat there.
There's heat with Nash.
There.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've told it before. Tommy Dreamer pulled me aside and told me, because we had done a live TNA Impact, we'd done it live, and I was getting a doing off Eddie Edwards.
I thought it was Scott Hall you had heat with.
They paid them a bunch of the scarf dunces. So Dreamer came, it was one of the kind of opening segments where I came out for a match, and Eddie Edwards like fucking done a number on me. I'm like, mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Aye.
And dun, they love the version of Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer comes down and fucking battles Eddie Edwards. And Nash had texted Tommy Dreamer saying, who was that you were saving? And I can't remember exactly what he said or something like that, but he was like, he wrote, is he a wrestler? It fucking wound me up, man. He showed me, I can't remember if he showed me text, but he told me exactly what it was. He was kind of taking a piss out of who was that you made the save for on Impact. And it was like that. So Scott Hall and Nash.
Nah, that's not enough to have heel. You know, there's no way, that's not a thing. That's just Kevin Nash being his big, lovable self, right? But mate, see if I went back, I went in a fucking time machine, right? And I went back to SWA, right? And you're in there as a Lowlanders, right? Mm-hmm. And you take a bump and you're lying there, and I'm there with a camcorder filming you, right? And if I lean forward and went to you, by the way, see in a few years, Tommy Dreamer will say to you, here's a text Kevin Nash sent to me asking about why I made the save on you, and all that. Your fucking mind would have been blown.
You're right.
There'd have been no fucking heat on anybody. Your heart would have been jumping out your chest.
You're right.
Let's see what the punters are saying about this list. Billy says, I don't know what your benchmarks are for best celebrity in wrestling, but it's got to be Ronda Rousey. See, I don't consider Ronda Rousey a celebrity in wrestling. I consider her a wrestler.
She's a wrestler.
I would consider her a wrestler because, anyway, what Billy says is, came in with that hype, had the best match out of all the celebrities, then carried that division for a year. And if you're counting Mayweather and Mike Tyson as celebrities, then Ronda's one too. No. And here's why. Because Ronda Rousey came in and looked like the complete package. I said this at the time. Ronda Rousey's debut and year that she spent in the WWE was the best since Kurt Angle. She was a total natural. She got it right away. She didn't have one fucking bad match. Came in, looked the best in there for a year, and then left. Beautiful. I mean, one day she'll get the credit she's due for that, because I just think she was astonishing. And even when she was in the ring, I remember even how my daughter reacted, man, watching her when she let loose on Triple H, man. That was one of the best moments. One of the best moments I've ever seen in the WWE, man.
So I forget, wasn't it?
Bronze Cello, best celebrity, Lawrence Taylor. Guy trained hard for months to have the WrestleMania main event against Bam Bam. At a time when the business was doing, the guy gave it his all and put on an enjoyable match. Good shout. Stephen, best celebrity, Stephen Amell. Was great when he performed it all in. Stephen Amell is, of course, Green Arrow. Floyd Mayweather as well when he faced Big Show. Goshy says Drew Carey eliminating himself for the 2001 Royal Rumble was outstanding. No, wasn't it? Come on now, wasn't it outstanding?
I like that.
Okay, wasn't it
outstanding? Was that the honky tonk man and shit like that?
It wasn't outstanding. Come on now. WrestleMation says Motorhead. Does that count? They were just a band that played.
That doesn't count.
Dino says Mickey Rourke laying out Y2J at Mania 25, wasn't he too shabby?
That was jobby because it probably was meant to be a lot mera.
Yeah,
should have read stories that he was, you know, there was meant to be a match.
Was there meant to be a match?
I think that I remember Jericho.
He was going to do a Randy the Ram.
I think there was the ice at the talk, but I think fucking Mickey Rourke was fully so. You know the best celebrity my mind is D'Angelo Williams at Bound for Glory, and I know you'll laugh at me for just trying to put over TNA again, but he had a match at Bound for Glory, and it was it's actually trending this week on Twitter because Scott D'Amore put up a tweet about Vince McMahon watched that match.
But hold on here, Grado, when I'm thinking a celebrity, I'm not really thinking somebody that's in matches, you know what I mean? It's like wrestling matches. I'm thinking maybe it's like a celebrity appearance, you know what I mean? Like an appearance for somebody.
Is anybody going to mention Vinnie Jones?
Nah.
Kenny Miller at the WWE house show?
Fuck no, man.
Who was the Elgin? The Elgin that obviously done the American Family Fortunes. The Elgin, remember him? He used to always come out, didn't he?
Bald Monkhouse,
but what was his name?
Bob Hope, no.
No, Bob Hope.
No.
He's dead now. He just died recently, actually. Died a couple of years ago. No.
They won the Insurrection 2002. Remember Eamon Holmes? Eamon Holmes was in the crowd. He was at Insurrection. Gianfranco Zola. Remember, it used to be funny when he would pan into the folk. We got Chelsea FC's own Gianfranco Zola and Eamon Holmes. He used to do that.
Kind of think any man. Anyway, Karate Warrior 2 says, oh, he agrees with me. Best celebrity in wrestling, Dennis Rodman. Primey sporting career. Badass, cool as fuck. Appearing on Nitro, was across sports news broadcasts all over the world. He wasn't taking the piss there for a quick payday. He drew eyeballs to the show, which is the perfect celebrity integration. It's true. That guy, you got to remember, he did an eBay one fucking WCW Nitro. He was like a big, he was all over all the fucking papers. He was like a big star. One of the greatest of all time. Kev says Stephen Amell for the TV show Arrow was very good in the team with Neville. Oh, a long time ago now, but Mr. T was also brilliant when he was involved with WWF. I mean, we're forgetting Mr. T here, but of course, again, it's a match. It's, you know, absolutely nobody said, what's his name?
Bad Bunny.
But even Cornette was putting him over this week.
Grado, you wrestled Greg Hemphill, but have you ever worked any other celebrity? Any celebrity you would like to wrestle?
I'm trying to think if there was it was you were involved.
you didn't even wrestle me though, mate. I was your tag team partner. You forget this.
No, but I mean, I've been in a I've never had to. I mean, there's been a couple of times that I've had to produce, like when I was on Endeavour. I know this doesn't count at all, but like having to get actors to come up with spots for, you know, one of the biggest crime dramas in UK history. Endeavour.
Jason Cummings, Dado, you wrestled great Jason Cummings.
That was a backyard match.
No.
That was backyard, right? I can't think if there's been. I remember dealing with Bobby the Barman through the Greg Hemphill stuff. Was he no meant to be involved? Special guest ref? There was Jim the Boxer.
Jim Watt
was
there. You didn't tangle up with him, though.
No, who was that? He did tangle up with something, but right?
Johnny Moss. He knocked Big Moss out with one punch.
Brilliant, that's right.
And I remember that night well, and I remember going up to Mossy and saying, listen, Mossy, how do you feel about taking a punch off of Jim Watt and powdering it?
Delighted.
And Mossy was like, powdering it? If he's going to land a punch on my jaw, I'll go down. I'll drop deed.
Aye.
You know, it was beautiful. Big Mossy, man. I'll tell you something. What a pro that guy was. He made that segment brilliant, Big Mossy.
I tell you what, who deserves a shout out, by the way, for coming in, involving in a match was me versus Ravy Davey at the garage, and Bob. Shouts out Bob coming in. He done well. Do you remember that, John?
Yeah, I remember all the stuff. I remember, obviously, Stephen, our friend from Football Daft, goes on about how he got the pop.
He got a pop?
He likes to talk about his, pretend he's a wrestler and knows wrestling chat, and he actually knows fuck all about wrestling.
What did he do when he came in?
He went up there. Do you know what? No, I tell you what, I can't believe I'm come on. Grado's family bash, he came in and done something. And I knew it would get over because there was Wayne's in the crowd, but that was the last match before the pandemic. Sure, I was wrestling Jester and the lights went out, and I got the River City song. Remember, I used to play it on here quite a lot. Remember, I got the River City song, metalled up, and he came out and done something, and he had the referee's t-shirt on and counted the three. Fucking honestly, geez, that. I can't believe the last wrestling match I've been involved in has been with Bob. That's crazy.
What if it was your last wrestling match ever?
I know, because you know what? I'm getting like all these. I'm now starting to get bookings.
Are you?
Requests.
Are you?
Oh, aye.
Oh, tell us more.
Well, it's just like, oh, fuck, I don't know what to do, because it's like I've got Frank Collin, who's putting on a charity show in October, and he's like, can you make it? And I'm like, oh, it's charity, or so, of course I'll make it. But whether I'm going to be with a match, I don't know. It's like, I've had a couple of bookings down south. It was maybe in the middle of July. It's now been moved to August, good and Rochester. But fuck me, man. I don't know if I'm ready for it yet. I really don't know if I'm ready.
When do you start training?
I don't know you train.
No, but seriously, what do you do though? Like, do you have any plans about getting yourself match fit?
No, I need to figure it all out. I need to figure it all out. I don't know if I want to be wrestling anymore. You know what I mean? It's quite sad.
You can't do
it. Come on. You've been serious? Come on.
What about Act 3?
The business is British wrestling's done the Swanee. You know what
but
I mean?
But what about Act 3 with Rudo?
Fucking, I don't know, mate. It's just...
What happened to Act 3?
I'm sure he's feeling the same way that I'm feeling. I just don't know, mate. I really don't know what's happening with wrestling. It's quite... I just don't know. Man, I need to make a move, and it needs to mean something. And I know that sounds like I'm being a bit of a mark for myself, but... It's no as easy as just going, right, I'm going to take a booking down in England, turn up with the leotard and give them the flip-flop and fly and a wee boot in their own slice. I don't want to, you know, it's different. It's changed years, man. It's not 2015 anymore. You know what I mean?
You need to think about, it's like I said, you need to think about what your first match back is. Do you want it to be just a show?
I don't know.
Any harm to the shows that are booking you, but you know what I mean?
I suppose I have been thinking about it and just going, oh, fuck, forget it. Because I've got so much on. I've got so much on, but the radio, and I've got two doors down just now, and then I've got Scott Squad in our series. No, that takes up a lot of time, the Scott Squad stuff, but it's like, what is, you know what I mean? Can I go back to then Friday, Saturday, Sunday? No, that I would get at the bookings that I probably used today. Is it worth my while? Just, it's no something. I don't know. I need to think about it. I'd rather come back with a bang and have something. I'd rather have my own thing. I know I did Grado's family wrestling bash, but I'd like to have something. You know what I mean?
Something local. Something, not
fuck
necessarily...
That, man. UK wide, mate.
Not necessarily local, but you know what I mean? Like something that is like yours and you're there every month and that's how you
see it. I don't want to do that either. I don't want to just, you know, have an off Ayrshire territory and go for the Magnum to the Netherlands Community Centre to fucking...
No, you know, bigger than that, mate. Bigger than that.
We'll see.
Yeah, dream big, mate. Dream big. Woo! There's loads more content at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Two bonus episodes are up there. There's new bonus episodes. We're going to jump on and do all sorts of stuff. I've still got to do this computer game thing I want to do. I'll get a video up there on the Patreon. Join there. patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. I want to do it. There's hundreds of extra content up there already. If you fancy that, becoming one of our patrons, you see our video version of the podcast, which I think is crucial. You can see our beautiful faces, Google's picking his nose just naturally. Sign up now at patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. We would love to welcome you to the roster. Time now for the part of the show that may lead to the death of our careers, as it's another Wrestling Daft road story. to explain to you how this works, we pretend that we're wrestlers on the way back for a show and we're trying to pop each other away a story, right? But this story is one of your stories that you sent in, okay? But we just have to sell it like it's one of ours, okay? So let's get in the car and see what happens.
You then, mate.
Okay. What a nighter.
Mate, how is it? It just takes me two bottles of glass wines. No.
You, listen, you've only walked drunk tonight, were you?
No,
no. No, you don't. You only do that.
I'm so
sorry. Listen.
What's that? I know, mate. I
you don't think you should pull away and let me drive, mate? No.
Put in, bro.
No, Grado, let me tell you this, right? No, I had my stag do in Arbroath, right? Went to a few pubs, got pished. Went to the football, sobered up. And back out. Aye, then back out and get pished again. Right. Anyway. I went to this one pub, it looked a bit dodgy. But my pal who used to live there said it was decent enough and had a special mixed shot, right? So we had to try it, right? So we went in. Me and my pal did the shot, but it had to be hands-free. You did it, right? That was just dang, right? So we did it. You know, you've done a hands-free shot, right? My brother took my glass out of my mouth once I'd done it, downed it as it wasn't allowed, right? Mm-hmm. About 15 seconds later, we could hear my pal choking, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody took the glass out of his mouth, so he couldn't swallow the shot, and he was pretty much drowning himself.
Aye.
Now, a wee bit after that, I went to the toilet, and my brother came in, followed by some dodgy-looking boy. My brother went to the other urinal, and the boy went into the cubicle. Stones at the door, and he goes, you boys want to come for a poop? He said, no. To which he replied, no, I mean a poop. My brother again said no, but no idea what he was actually talking about. He says, oh, you boys don't like taking poops, like? He says, was the next reply. As me and my brother were leaving the bog, my brother then clicks, he was 25, so he's no naive, just steaming, runs to me and says, Sean, he didn't really want a poop, boys. He wanted to do fucking cocaine. Boy then came out and asked us not to grass him in, and he wished us all the best. My brother at that point decided to tell me he actually thought that he wanted us all to have a poop together. Anyway, let's get through this, Mackie D's. Remember, everybody, drugs are for mugs. You better stick to poops. Poops are better. That was Sean Innes to send that story. Thanks very much, Sean. That's a kind of one we're talking about. That's more like it. Poops and that. Poops.
Know.
That's the kind of one we're talking about. Yeah, right. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. You know what I mean? That's a funny wee story. So, you want to send us your story?
Is there a video version of this?
Of course there is. Why?
I keep fucking picking my beak.
Well, still picking your beak. Right, if you have a wrestling Daff Road story, doesn't have to be anything to do with wrestling, just a funny story about your life that you think will pop us, drop us a DM on Twitter at Wrestling Daft or on the Facebook page. Now it's time to pick a listener of the week.
What about?
Why don't we put what about Ant for a listener of the week because he likes the idea of this Conscience and Sabo match and
Milan. It's a no-brainer.
He's an old schooler. So let's get to Ant. Ant is a listener of the week. That's it for Wrestling Daft. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple and wherever you get your podcast.
Can we bookend this with Shaz Terry Funk story?
All right, let's hear the Terry Funk story. Let's hear the Terry Funk story.
It's going to be Shane Douglas and Steve Corino against me and Carsten Beck, right? That's what I'm saying. Shane Douglas no-showed. It couldn't be asked. And so they we need a replacement. Terry Funk was there just to wave and do a meet and greet or just to do a promo to the crowd. Wasn't going to wrestle. So the WXW got a replacement. The guy was called Hate. Vintage deathmatch wrestler called Hate. Where you know, baggy combats, you know, just a pathetic ring gear, stupid get up. Steve Carino took one look at him and goes, oh, this is going to be the shit. Goes to me and then tries to persuade Terry Funk to do the match. And he wouldn't do it. He was like, Steve, I haven't got my equipment with me. Called his ring gear his equipment, which is a pop. So then we persuade him to this Hate man to get taken out. And then Terry Funk's music hits. And Terry Funk comes down the ring and sits on the apron. And Steve Carino, out of desperation, tags him. And originally he was just going to fight up on me, bump me, bump me, put his spinning toe hold on. Yeah. And then he wanted Carino to go over. We asked him first, you know, so Carino goes, when he puts you in that spinning toe hold, tap out. It's like, what? No, but you're meant to go over. No, tap out. You want you to tap out. Get in the ring. It's all going great. Well, it wasn't going great because hate was shit. But it's all going, so what happened is, Terry Funk comes down the ring, gets in the ring, punch, bump. Mate, punched me so many times. He was loving it. Crowd were eating up. Bump me. Steve Crane puts a spinning hold on the other geezer. Both tap out. Crowd erupts. Crowd run to the ring. Terry Funk, what happened? And cuts a big promo at the end. Happy days. Gets backstage. Chest all pumping out. Goes to his wife with a beer in his hand. Hey, Vicky, did you see me out there? It was 1985 again. What a buzz.
Beautiful. Well, listen, everybody, thanks so much. And remember, the important message to take away for this episode is have a look into the bone marrow donation registers. Get yourself signed up for that. Let's follow John's lead, the great John McAnally, who, you know, while he, you know, something gets a bit weird, like calling people the most beautiful woman in the world and stuff like that, is still a great guy who who does things like...
You can tell he's Dominic Diamond's pal.
What does that mean, mate? Don't you bring that champion attitude in here, that we are the people attitude in here, mate. All right, you save that for a Shell Suit Bob.
I could just imagine Dominic Diamond and Rab Florence sitting there with fucking Martin Compson.
That sounds good. That sounds like ratings to me. That sounds like money, mate. That sounds like a faction. That sounds like
turn this off because I'm talking shit now.
That sounds like a big baby face faction. Grado is steaming. It's time for me to get up the road. Up the road, Grado.
Up the road. It's yourself.
It's yourself, son. It's yourself.